जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी चन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी चन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी चन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी चन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी,
पादपंचपटिकाचार्य श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति विदान स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद, जय विष्णुपाद परमंसपटिकाचार्य श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गौरव की, वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की, मायापुर नवदीप धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी की, कलिक पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द सेंबल डिवोटीज़, ऑल ग्लोरीज़ टू द सेंबल डिवोटीज़। All glories to His humble devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nashtaprayeshvabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hari. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21st, Explanation of the Vedic Path, it's 26. Evam vyavasitam kechit. Avidnyaya kubuddhaya falashrutim kusumitam na vedatnya vandatihi evam vyavasitam kechit. Avidnyaya kubuddhaya falashrutim kusumitam na vedatnya vadantihi. Evam vyavasitam keche. Avidnyaya kubuddhaya falashrutim kusumitam na vedatnya vadantihi. Word by word meaning, evam, in this way, vyavasitam, the actual conclusion, kechit, some people, avidnyaya, no, not understanding, kubuddhaya, having perverted intelligence, falashrutim, the scriptural statements, promising material rewards. Kusamitam flowery. Na do not. Vedatnya, those in full knowledge of the Vedas. Vadanti, speak. He, indeed. Translation and purport. Translation. Persons with perverted intelligence do not understand this actual purpose of Vedic knowledge and instead propagate as the highest Vedic truth the flowery statements of the Vedas that promise material rewards. Those in actual knowledge of the Vedas never speak in that way. Purport. The followers of the Karma Mimamsa philosophy declare that there is no eternal kingdom of God beyond his universe and that one should therefore become a professional performer of Vedic rituals in order to keep oneself in a material heavenly planet. As explained by the Lord to Shivdhava in a previous chapter, there is no actual happiness in the material world, since one will inevitably rotate through the various planetary environments stretching from heaven to hell and thus always be disturbed within the material atmosphere. Although the doctor may give a child candy-covered medicine, one who urges a child to eat the candy and throw away the medicine is certainly a great fool. In the same way, the flowery statements of the Vedas describing heavenly enjoyment do not award the real fruit of Vedic knowledge, but merely supply decorative blossoms of sense gratification. As stated in the Vedas, Rig Veda 1.22.20, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surya. Even the demigods who are permanent residents of heaven are always looking to the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. Foolish people who admire the standard of living in material heaven should therefore note that the demigods themselves are devotees of the Supreme Lord. One should not become a bogus propagator of so-called Vedic knowledge, but should take to Krishna consciousness and make a genuine solution to the problem of progressing in life. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pashatya Deshatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Pascha कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि कौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मे बी ऑल ऑफ यू कैन कम लिटिल फॉरवर्ड, इट्स scattered everywhere, so please come forward as much as possible. Okay, thank you. So in this verse we can see that Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava about the Vedic path and especially the process for those who do not have complete faith in the supremacy of the Lord, and especially those who are attached to the ritualistic activities which are recommended in the Vedas. So we can see that this guidelines are quite important, because that helps us to properly calibrate our consciousness. What is our consciousness? In what consciousness we perform activities? That determines what result we may get. And especially in the spiritual life, when somebody has some faith in the process given in the Vedas, one should try to see that one is on the right path, one is not distracted or deviated from the real path, because that will lead one to a completely different destination. Even following the Vedic path, one has to have a proper guidance, a proper process, somebody who knows that process properly. One should have the proper guidance of such bona fide people. Then one will get the proper results. And the entire process of Vedic path is to elevate our consciousness. What is our inner motive of serving the Lord or worshipping gods, various gods? And that has to be properly understood. And In this metal world, we can see that mostly 99.99% of people will go to various temples, various gods, goddesses, and they will ask from the Lord. They will ask Lord to give something to them. They want something from God. That God give us something, daily bread. We have a lot of necessities to survive in this metal world. And these gods, demigods, they provide, because they have been assigned to provide all those basic necessities. We can see whatever basic necessities, whatever basic necessities. Yes, food. Food, then any other, shelter. Okay. Clothing, and yes, any other thing we need? Food, clothing, air. It's important. If we don't breathe, what will happen to us? Even we are sleeping, we are breathing, life air is going on. Air is so important. Prana vayu. Anything else we need? What? Cell phone. We can survive without cell phone. But what are the other needs? What was happening a few days before in Mumbai and Maharashtra? Rain, water. Water is so important and precious in our lives for our survival. We may not eat food for a day. We may survive. But when it comes near Nirjala Ekadashi, then we understand the importance of water, right? How much water is important in our body also, so much percentage of water is there, 70% or something. So water is important, and we can see that that entire element of water, the entire control of that water is given to whom it is given? Varun Dev, Indra, mostly he controls the rain. The whole system of water management in the entire universe is controlled by Indra. And we can see that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that give me basic things. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. Give me these basic things and give me with love and devotion. And I'll be happy. I'll accept them. Give me little water, flower, fruit, leaf. And he's happy. But Indra also gave a lot of water. But in a different way. Indra, who is the actual controller of entire water, he poured water in Vrindavan, incessant water. We can see that now we are all waiting for Lord Krishna's appearance, Sri Krishna Janmashtami, which is just few days away. And celebrations are already on. Today our mothers are going to celebrate Janmashtami. So In fact, every day can be Janmashtami if we have that consciousness in our heart. So Krishna comes every yuga, not only to re-establish the principles of religion, but to give pleasure to his devotees. That is his main purpose. He wants to give pleasure to his devotees. And when he comes here, especially when he came 5,000 years before, he performed wonderful activities. Right from birth, when he was born in Mathura. Since that day, that time, or in fact maybe before that also, before appearance, he was already started his plans. How he will appear, he instructed all the demigods and his associates to take birth in various dynasties. And it had started already. And everyone was eagerly waiting for the eighth child to appear. But only one person. He was extremely fearful, and he was making so many plans to kill the eighth child of Krishna, the child of Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna was the eighth child. And he was planning so much. In fact, when Krishna was born and he understood that Krishna has escaped, that Mahamaya Devi, Durga Devi, she appeared and told that Krishna has already gone. And you are a great fool actually, trying to kill me. So he was calling various demons one by one, sending them to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Putana, Shakatasur, Agasur, Trunavart, Bakasur, Arishta, Keshi. So many demons he was sending one by one in different forms. And Krishna was killing them. They were not returning back. So there was no message, what has happened to them. Today's time we don't get WhatsApp message, we are restless. We send message and waiting. Person is receiving or not. One tick, two ticks, green. So all that green, red, blue. So if it doesn't become blue, we become red. So we are so much anxiety ridden. And that was not the case. There was a different type of anxiety. And we may not become that anxious as that of Kamsa also. Kamsa was like literally 24 hours he was conscious. He was thinking, he's coming. He's coming to kill me. He was always thinking out of fear. He was always thinking of Krishna. That person is coming with chakra in his hand and is going to kill me. That was his intense meditation, in fact. And Srila Narada Muni explains that kind of meditation is more intense even than that of devotees. Devotees, we may call ourselves devotees, but we are not so much intensely remembering Lord. We are just trying to do some seva and just take prasad and sleep. But we are not intensely absorbed in how to increase the services and to know also Supreme Lord. And our meditation is also has some limits. But Kamsa was meditating intensely. So much intense that he was not able to sleep. He was not able to eat properly. He was always thinking which direction is going to come. So he was tremendously, intensely remembering Lord Krishna. And he was thinking that maybe this demon will save me. I am sending this demon and this demon is going to kill him and then I will be happy. And these demons were not ordinary demons. If you see, analyze, they had tremendous powers actually. They had mystic powers. Trunavarta, we can take example. He came in the form of a whirlwind, as a huge cyclone, just whirling the entire air element he was trying to control. And he came to Vrindavan with so much of intensity, fury, that entire Vrindavan was disturbed. Everything was getting carried away. And there was no, they could not see each other. There was so much of dust everywhere. And Mother Yashoda, she was having small baby Krishna in her hand. And Krishna, who knows everything, past, present and future, he knows what is happening there. So he became little heavy. He understood that now I had to start doing some activities. So Mother Yashoda had kept him down, and at that time Trunavarta came and he lifted Lord Krishna through his power. And Krishna, he understood that yes, this is the plan. He allowed himself to be carried in the air, very high in the sky. And Mother Yashoda, she was thinking that what has happened? Where is Krishna? She could not say Krishna. He was a small baby child. He was here and now he's not there. Where is gone? He's gone up somewhere in the sky. So, although Krishna went up very high in the sky, he had full control. He controls everything. In fact, all these elements, air, water, ether, fire, earth, all these elements are Krishna's separated material energy, Vinna Prakruti Rashtadha. So for him to have a control over one element of this material energy, there is no difficulty for him. But that same element the demon was controlling, and he had become so much of proud that he has some control over this air element. And he was creating so much of havoc. So Krishna, although he went up, he got a very nice sky ride, high ride, you can say. And then he caught hold of his neck, Trunavarta's neck. And Krishna, he is a very small child actually. What his strength, what is the size of his palm and fingers. But he With that he caught hold of the neck of Trunavarta. And as we know everything, that he was feeling suffocated. He was feeling quite pain. He wanted to get rid of Krishna's hand. But Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. Krishna wants to protect, nobody can harm. And Krishna wants to kill, nobody can save that person. And in this way we can see that Trunavarta, he had gone so much high in the sky, taken Lord baby Krishna. He had a difficulty in the sky. He lost his control. And then he died and fell on one of the stone slabs of Vrindavan. And everyone came. What has happened? Where is Krishna? And Krishna was very effortlessly, very nonchalantly, he came and he was just like as if nothing had happened. He was just as a small baby child, depending on his mother, parents, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Maya, they all came, oh, is Krishna safe? Nothing has happened to Krishna. And maybe they were thinking that maybe some demigod has saved us from this big calamity. Lord Narayan has saved us. So in this way, Krishna was performing these activities. And under the yoga maya, Krishna's internal energy, the Vrajavasis, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of God. In fact, Krishna covered them through the yoga maya potency. Krishna covers them that he is the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he can reciprocate with his devotees in different rasas, as a friend, as a child, as a lover. So in this way, these pastimes are very, very wonderful and very, very much purifying when we hear them. And then this, his purpose was to annihilate the demons and give pleasure to his devotees. And in the same way we can see Indra, who is the lord of, who is a controller, he is the chief of administrative demigods. There are so many demigods, 33 crores, and this is a season, festival season now, of demigods. People are going to various temples Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, following so many vratas. So, because these demigods, they give something. When they are worshipped properly, they are pleased. So they give something for our basic necessities. Even the wealth, material wealth, money, which everyone is so attached to that, and we think that we are so much dependent on that economy. So, if these demigods are worshipped properly, then one may get. And it is explained that there are three types of wealth. One is the gross material wealth. We can see in terms of money or assets and gold and so many things. So that is a gross material wealth. So people are trying to acquire more and more, thinking that that will give us happiness. Then the second is subtle material wealth, which is cannot be seen, just like punya, pious credits. One may develop pious credits, worshipping demigods, following certain rituals, chanting mantras, giving charities to brahmanas. So one may acquire lot of subtle material wealth, which can actually help one to achieve even the higher planets, Swarga Loka. Here in this verse it is explained that how those who are less intelligent, in fact, they are trying to go to Swarga Loka. Yami mam pushpitam vacham pravadyante avipashyata. Veda vadartha partha nanyadastiti vade. Kamatmana swarga para janma karma phalapadam. So it is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that these ritualistic activities are performed with lot of mantras. And these mantras, when person is chanting, they appear to be very nice. Some nice sound vibrations are going on. Some yajnas are going on. We feel very nice. Naturally, we feel very nice. What is the main purpose of performing these yajnas? What is the motive behind performing these yajnas? That determines our destination. If you perform these yajnas or ritualistic activities, mantras, chanting the mantras, asking for the demigods to give something, then it becomes kind of ritual. Karma Mimamsa, and I will come to that. But mostly people are attached to that, to acquire some either gross material wealth or subtle material wealth, that I will do some punya, help poor, acquire pious credit so that I do not have to suffer in the next life, I may go to the higher heavenly planet. And mostly people are aware of that only. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam we see that there is another level of wealth. And that is eternal spiritual wealth. That actually we are looking for. In this world, everyone is trying to become happy, searching for happiness. But if we ask them, what is this happiness you are searching for? One will not be able to properly define what is that happiness. Just by getting money, are we going to become happy? Then the richest person in this world should be more happy. But they are also having anxieties and difficulties. So, money or so many other things cannot give happiness actually. So, at the gross level, if somebody is trying to become happy, then there is limitation. It is not permanent. And it may last only in this life. After this life, when person leaves, all that gross wealth remains here. We cannot take a single rupee with us. But still people are trying to acquire, we are so much attached to that. And then there is a higher understanding that, okay, let us develop some pious credits so that we go to the higher planets and we enjoy there. And as yesterday Akinchan Krishnaprabhu was very nicely explaining that how people even don't have that understanding. There is not much clarity about what is Swarga and how to acquire pious credits. So Srimad Bhagavatam actually helps us to elevate our consciousness and bring to the much more higher level. Because it is a Paramahamsa Sanhita. It gives the highest thing. It does not it has already given up all these four things: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are material things. It is Srimad Bhagavatam does not give a cheating religion. It gives the highest thing so that we understand what is the ultimate purpose of our life, what is the highest happiness, what is the eternal happiness. So therefore, our acharyas have come to that conclusion that the highest wealth, the spiritual wealth, is in discussing the glories of the Supreme Lord, to chant His holy names. That is the highest thing. That is going to give the real happiness, the highest happiness. And one has to have faith. One has to develop faith in the association of devotees, that this is the real happiness we are actually searching for. Because when we water the root of the tree, all the leaves, branches, flowers, fruits, they all get nourished. Similarly, we are all connected with God. And when God is worshipped properly, we will all get nourished spiritually, materially also, and will become really happy. So therefore, Krishna consciousness involves realizing our identity, that we are not the material body, because all these activities on this path of ritualistic activities, they keep us on the bodily platform maximum, because there is strong desire to become happy on the material platform. And when we are identifying with this body or things connected with the body, then we think that that is all in all. And especially all these karmakanda rituals and all, that keeps us bound in this material world. And Indra, who was the controller of all these water element, huge water element, he was being worshipped by Brajavasis. Brajavasis used to worship him. Every year they used to perform Indra Puja. And Krishna knew that this is not necessary. And his purpose was to curb the pride of Indra. Indra had become proud. He was thinking that I am giving the reins and they should for worship me. So he thought that this is his right. Everyone should worship me. So what he was doing, he was accepting all those offerings, sacrifices and everything. And he had become proud. And Krishna, he understood that he has become proud and I need to rectify that. because Krishna can understand everyone, all living entities he can understand simultaneously. Even the smallest insignificant amoeba or whatever small insects, Krishna can understand. Or even the greatest of demigods, Brahma, Indra, when they become proud, Krishna can understand, yes, there is some pride has come. And I have given so much of power, so much of control I have given, it is all because of me. But this soul is thinking that, no, I am the doer. I am controlling everything. It is because of me everything is happening. So then Krishna can rectify that pride. And when he saw that Indra had become proud, that he was supposed to supply rains to all the Vrajavasis and all, everyone actually. So he Krishna saw, and Krishna told Vrajavasis that, what are you doing? They say that we are doing this Indra Puja. Krishna asked that, is it according to the Vedic injunction? Is it given in the Shastras? Or is it you are following as a tradition? So they said that this is a traditional worship and we do every year this worship. So Krishna convinced Nanda Maharaj and all other Vrajavasis that, see, look at this. Krishna was explaining the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is somewhat like you do your activities and you are going to get results. There is no God in control. Because if you do activities, you are going to get, you do pious activities, you are going to get something in return. And although God is there, He is not in control. Because whatever activities you perform, you have to get something in return. So Krishna was telling that kind of philosophy to all the Vrajavasis and say that you don't have to worship Indra. Because you are doing your activities and you are going to get that results. And even these benedictions are given by the demigods. They are supplying all these rains and everything. And by the rains we get grains. And by grains we survive. And all these benedictions are ultimately sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. If He does not sanction even the demigods, they don't have any power to give any material benedictions. So ultimately Lord is the only person who can actually sanction and move everything in this material world. But sometimes, or most of the times, we forget that. And we think that, no, I am the controller, I am the master, I am the HOD, or I am running this department and temple and so many things. But Krishna, when he purifies, then we see that, no, I am not running the department or temple or anything. But it is because of the temple or the department I am running everywhere. So Krishna can actually, when he is very merciful, he can clear our doubts. Otherwise he may keep us in illusion for many, many years, lifetimes also. So Indra had become proud and Krishna stopped that. He told Vrajavasis that, don't worship him, no need. Look at this Govardhan hill. He is supplying all our necessities, water, all the vegetation and nice thing, everything is supplying. And we should just worship this Govardhan. And then all our necessities will be provided. And in That way Krishna actually convinced everyone. And everyone agreed, okay, Krishna is saying, worship Govardhan. So they started worshipping. Krishna assumed a very different transcendental form. And all these huge offerings they had made, of varieties of grains and sweet rice and cakes and juices and fruits. So many varieties of offerings they were actually going to offer to Indra. But because of Krishna, they decided to offer to Govardhan. And in that way, that wonderful Govardhan Puja was performed. And it is explained that there is a place called Annakoot. When we perform the Govardhan Parikrama, Annakoot to Aniyor, there is a place. So it's like 1.5 kilometers. That much area was covered, occupied with all the varieties of offerings, grains, and so you can imagine how much various types of offerings were given to Govardhan. And then Govardhan had assumed a very huge transcendental form, and with the right hand he was eating everything, and he ate everything. All those offerings vanished. Still, he was hungry, and he was saying, Aniyor, bring more. Because he is the Supreme Lord, we cannot eat like God. So, these are the wonderful pastimes Lord has performed and given pleasure to his devotees, especially when he was in Vrindavan. These are very, very wonderful, sweet pastimes. And when we hear these pastimes, when we speak about these pastimes, glorify, which are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we develop our eternal spiritual wealth. Slowly, slowly, we are actually accumulating our spiritual wealth, which will be helpful for us in our spiritual life. Hare Krishna. So I will stop. And of course, the devotees will continue tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and Janmashtami, please all come. We have a lot of kathas and celebration. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya.